Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be remembering the Reed family, Eugene Reed in particular. He was a county clerk at one time. He also delivered mail, did a lot of other things here in Jessamine County. His wife's name was Ruby, and we're going to talk to their two sons, Don Reed and Randy Reed. We'll do that right after this word from Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you as we continue our quest to learn more about people, places, and things of Jessamine County. Well, today we're going to talk to a couple of fellas who grew up here in Nicholasville, over on Melrose Avenue, and they are the sons of Eugene and Ruby Reed. Good morning, Don and Randy. How are you all?
Good morning, Doug.
Glad to have you guys here. We're going to talk a little bit about your parents and what they meant to our community, and you too as well, of course. I guess I remember Mr. and Ms. Reed because of the proximity in which I sort of grew up at my grandparents' house on Greenwood, right around the corner from where you guys grew up on Melrose. Now, your dad was involved, I know, in the Postal Service and probably other things too. So let's kind of start with a little family history. Let's talk about him first. Tell us where he came from, how he got here, and eventually lead us into your mom.
Sure. You know, my dad's parents were John Reed and Bertha Reed, and I lived on Fifth Street. I had a garage
here in town, okay,
where John T. was.
Yeah,
and then had a garage there, and then my grandfather John was for a while chief of police in Nicholasville.
Really?
Yes.
You see, that's why I like this program. I learn stuff that I have no clue about.
My dad grew up there. My grandfather was from Woodford County, but then they all moved to Nicholasville, and my dad grew up there. And went to Nicholasville School and graduated from Nicholasville High School in 1935.
Now, Fifth Street runs over by Nicholasville School.
Just
and
correct.
He walked
across the street.
Across the street.
Yeah.
And your grandfather was police chief, you said. Was your dad ever involved in that kind of job?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Was your grandfather always involved in that kind of stuff?
No. I came from Woodford County.
Yeah.
And was a farmer. And why they came into Nicholasville, I can't tell you.
Yeah.
Had the garage. It was on Fifth Street, and then my Uncle John T., of course, had that later and continued living there. And how that all happened, I don't. It's been way before my time. Just know it happened.
So your dad came, went to school in Nicholasville. I graduated Nicholasville High School.
Several years ago.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. What about your mom? Now,
my grandparents were from Woodford County. And moved to Jessamine Station to a farm on Jessamine Station.
Uh-huh.
And she grew up there on Jessamine Station on that farm. And I think the name of the thing was the waterworks. Now, I don't know what all that involved. I just remember as a child going down there and seeing them.
Whereabouts would that have been?
It's just really close to... when you first turn on the Jessamine Station, it's not too far down. Of course, it's all changed in the last little
bit. But when you turn on from this end, from what is now West Jessamine High.
Right
in that area.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And there was a farm there, and I just remember going there.
Yeah. Do you remember that, Randy?
No.
Well, not really. A lot of this was before my time.
Now, how many years are between you guys?
12.
So basically... Man, how did it feel, Don? We're going to get into this more, but as a 12-year-old kid, then all of a sudden, here's this baby comes along you got to deal with.
I was delighted. I'll tell you why. I was there by myself.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he came along and entertained Mom and Dad, and so I got
freedom. Could sneak off.
I could kind of go do what I wanted, like I really did. So it was fun.
I made a good distraction.
So yeah, I guess some of this stuff he's talking about you wouldn't remember. So do we know how Mom and Dad found each other? How did that happen?
Dad had a restaurant on Main Street.
Really?
I started that in 1935 when I graduated from high school.
Where would that have been?
It was close to May's Barbershop. In that area between May's Barbershop and what was that old Kroger, the building in that area?
Now, that would have been in the next block.
The next block.
I guess the best way to describe it, folks, it's kind of the parking lot for Farmers Bank.
Probably.
Yeah.
And maybe just a little bit further.
Yeah,
down.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, in that block. Pretty much across from what was Kreiner's.
The Ben Franklin
store. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was on a Saturday, he was saying, and he was working in the store. He owned that and was working there. And mom's family all came into town and parked on Main Street like a lot of people did.
Mm-hmm.
And she was walking down Main Street, and he saw her and said, I need to meet her. I want somebody to go over and ask her to come over. I want to meet her.
Wow.
1935, they married on November 30th of 1936. He was 20 and she was 16.
Really?
Yeah.
20 and 16. Now, how long was it before you came along?
I came in 1946.
So quite a while.
Quite a while. But they had twin girls in 1943, but premature.
Oh.
And not all of the technology you have today.
Yes.
And one deceased at the hospital and the other deceased a couple of months later with that. And then he went in the service in 1943 and was gone until 1945.
Where did he serve?
He served in the area of the Middle East, there in Africa for the first part.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second part of that, he was in Italy and made the beachhead at Anzio.
Oh, really? Wow. You know, you mentioned him saying that the family came and parked. On a recent venture, my wife and I took my mom to a lavender farm. And on the way, we were talking about the way things used to be. My wife, who is 9 years younger than me, don't remember as much stuff about Old Town as I do. And, of course, I don't remember anything like Mom does. But she was talking about that. And at that time, they lived on Brown Street. And she was telling the story that Saturday mornings, my granddad would drive his car down to Main Street, find a good parking place, and then walk back home. And we were like, what do you mean? Said, oh, yeah, later that night, we'd walk back so that we knew we had a good place to sit and talk to everybody. That's what you did. That was entertainment
exactly
for Saturday night.
That's what you did.
And that was it. That's what there was to do. You didn't just jump in your car and run to Lexington to do all this stuff.
Did that when I was a child.
Yeah.
That was mom and dad would come down on Saturday afternoon and watch. If a car pulled out, they kept moving up. They preferred the block between the dime store there or the one in front of the courthouse. That was the block they preferred.
That's what mom said.
Center of town, and everybody would come and go, sit on the fence on the courthouse, and they would visit and talk, and all until it got so dark and everybody.
And we did a show, and I think it was John B. Carpenter. We did a show on gas stations in Nicholasville, and he was talking about they would even double park, and he said it was nothing to walk down through Main Street, and somebody, of course, everybody knew everybody. Somebody be sitting in your car, sitting there talking.
Yes.
And you didn't think nothing about it because it was your buddy. It was your friends. You knew everybody. Isn't it amazing how times have changed?
Totally.
Yeah.
That
All
was
right.
before television, too.
Well, they're saying there wasn't any. You made your own entertainment. And so, yeah, times are different. All right. So mom and dad get together. He lays his eyes upon her, and that's it. They marry, and he's in the service. You come along
1946.
All right. So you're the firstborn, and finally, 12 years later, Randy comes along.
1958.
Yeah. Tell us about your dad's continuing work there. Did he have the restaurant when you were born?
No.
Okay.
Of course, he had the restaurant to about 38 or 39, and then he worked for a company called Epping Bottling Works, which delivered soft drinks and drinks throughout all of central Kentucky. And one of his favorite stores was Jot 'em Down Store, which is in Lexington on off Russell Cave.
Still there.
Still there.
Yeah.
Today. And that was one of his favorite stores. When Dad grew older and I became pastor at First Baptist Church of Paris, we came over. And after we did that, we were going back to eat out, and we wanted to go to Cracker Barrel on the Russell K. Road.
Right.
And so we came right by Jot 'em Down Store, and he told me every bit about it. He told me about the guys that ran it. They were good friends, gave their names, every bit of this. And his mind had begun to kind of drift. We get to Cracker Barrel. I took his hat and his cane, put him in a seat beside me.
Yeah.
5 minutes later, he said, I don't have my hat and cane. I said, Dad, they're right beside me.
Wow.
And then a few minutes later, he said, "Where's my hat and cane?" I said, "Right here." He said, "What are they doing there?" And I finally handed them to him, and I thought he remembered Jot 'em Down store, the guys who owned it, everything about that.
So, isn't that amazing how the mind works and doesn't work, isn't it?
And,
so he bought, so he sold that place, went to war.
Right.
And came back.
Yes.
Is that when he got into civil service?
It is. He was a county clerk.
Yeah.
Now, we talked about the years. We're not 100% in all those years that he was county clerk.
Would that have been in the 50s?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, late 40s, 50s.
I'm trying to think of some of the clerks. Jimmy Johnson would have been
followed
your dad. Yeah, okay. Yeah. That was right before Roger Williams. Well, right. I think that's right.
He was county clerk and then decided to try for another office a little higher up on that. That didn't work out.
Yeah.
So that's when he moved from that, worked with Commonwealth Insurance for a few years. And then, and about the time Randy came along, he went to work in Frankfort.
Yeah.
For a few years in Frankfort with that, in the highway department.
Yeah.
He would take me occasionally to Frankfort. He had opportunity to do that. It was fun. We'd go visit the Capitol, and he showed me all of the things, especially if the they were in session. Mm-hmm. It was fun to see that. And then he took me to the old Capitol, and we looked through that. Took me to the armory, which fascinated me with the guns and all. But the thing that really stood out, and he worked in the traffic department. He knew the engineers, and so we went over, and the engineers showed me maps of the interstate highways that they were working on, and showed me where they were going to go, and all those things. Of course, I'm 10, 11 years old. They didn't mean a whole lot to me.
Mm-hmm.
As I watched it develop, I thought, you know, I've seen those maps and those roads.
Sure, sure. That's right. That's right. We'll take a side here for just a moment because I don't want to not mention what you guys have been doing. Randy, you came along and said in 58, is that right?
Yeah, 58.
And had this older brother to deal with. And
yeah, I was a pest, too.
Well, that's okay. That's okay.
I was just a kid, and he was 18 going to college and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was maybe starting elementary school. And I remember aggravating him real bad.
Mm-hmm.
Little things, nothing real bad. And mom would keep me in line pretty good, but dad would really keep me in line.
Yeah, yeah.
When he come home from work, I knew I better straighten up quick.
Well, I tell you what, that sounds familiar to me. I've told this story very often. And of course, you both know my mother and have for quite a while. But I used to direct. It used to be you go to what was Bluegrass RECC in the old building, and you pull in the drive-through to pay your electric bill, and there sat Ann Moss on the other side of the window to take your payment, who was one of Mother's best friends, I guess, growing up. I used to dread to go, Randy, because I knew that every time we went, Ann was going to give Mom a new fly swatter. And I knew who was going to get the other end of that fly swatter because it happened before. And I also knew, and just like what you said, that if Mom had to discipline me, I better do what she says because I didn't want Dad to come home having to do more. And so it's kind of like saying what you said. You know, you better shape up when Mom said so because Daddy would come home sometime.
No, that's exactly right. And when Dad delivered the mail, we haven't quite got into that yet, but when he was at the post office, he would come by the house when he was in town. Seemed like around 10, 11 o'clock every day, that was part of his route.
Mm-hmm.
Usually be a dog following him. That he made friends with along the way. Now, he did get bit a couple times in the route, but he'd usually have one that would just trail him along. And when he got there, if I hadn't been acting right, he'd ask Mom and she'd tell him. And the fly swatter probably felt a lot better than the strap that was around the mail.
I understand.
Nothing.
I understand.
Vicious by no means, but it got me back into line real quick.
And you know what? And people nowadays, of course, there's different feelings about all that, but I'll tell you what, I never got one I didn't deserve.
I bet
you guys feel the same way.
Not always.
You think there's no weird.
Probably deserve more than I got.
That's probably true. So you, let's see, talk about you a little bit. You graduated Jessamine County High, 76?
76,
is that right?
Yes.
What have you done since then and all these years?
Well, a variety of things. I worked in factories for quite a bit, had some supervisory jobs with that. I worked at the detention center for 6 years, I worked at the airport for a courier service for a few years, and the last 4 years I've been doing in-home health care. And I don't know, the people that I've sat with tell me that I'm kind of a natural with it as far as being the giving type person, my personality and so forth, and I really enjoy caring for people.
Good. That's a good, it's an honorable job, and I'm glad we got people that can do that. You, on the other hand, have all, well, not on the other hand, in the same vein, have devoted your life to helping people, too. Have you been in the ministry your whole life?
My whole life. Yeah. Chris, I grew up in Nicholasville Baptist Church.
Right.
And I just felt that, you know, God touched my life and that I was felt like he was leading me to be a pastor, be a minister. And went to college. I went to Asbury College then, university now, and got a degree in religion philosophy. And then in 1968, I went on to Southern Seminary.
Yeah.
I got my Master of Divinity. And while I was at Southern Seminary, I became youth minister at Nicholasville Baptist Church. And I virtually have been in church ever since then.
Now, you've spent just about all your time in Central Kentucky, haven't you?
I have. I really have. I was in Nicholasville all the time that I was serving while I was in seminary. Then when seminary was over, I was a youth minister for a short amount of time at Lancaster Baptist Church. Felt like that I wanted to move beyond youth ministry and into pastorate, and I went to Clover Bottom in Versailles.
Yeah.
I served there 4 years. I went to Louisville for a short time in a church there. I came back as an associate at Versailles Baptist Church, and then was involved in starting Crosswoods, which is in the northern part of Jessamine County. From Crosswoods, I went over to Mount Freedom.
In Wilmore.
In Wilmore,
right.
For several years. And I went to Bruner's Chapel, which is in Mercer County.
Yeah.
Then I came over to First Baptist Church of Paris.
Right.
And from there, I became the executive director of Elkhorn Baptist Association and finished my ministry with that. Since I've retired.
You're still doing it.
I'm still doing it.
Yeah.
I had two interims. I had an interim with New Hope over in Woodford County.
Right.
And I just finished an interim with Edgewood.
Edgewood.
18 months with Edgewood.
Yeah.
And had a good time. Renewed a lot of old acquaintances and friendships. And
yeah, because a lot of the older, I don't want to say old people, the older people.
They are old.
At Edgewood Baptist, came from Nicholasville. A lot of them, that's where they came off of, yeah.
I told them, I can remember, of course, it started in 1970, and I was at Nicholasville when that happened. And came out as a mission by the generosity of the Thompson brothers.
Right.
They gave them the land. And,
yeah.
Formed, and I've known their history all along.
I have a cool picture of the groundbreaking, and standing there is Henry and Cleveland Thompson, my granddad Cecil Rohr, Frank Allender, and I want to say Henry Sandage.
Probably.
Yeah.
I think he was
seems
on
like,
yeah.
Which was another neighbor.
Yeah.
Amazing. All these people lived right over there in that Greenwood Melrose.
We've talked about that.
Yeah.
Wow.
You think about the people that, of course, in that day, that was way out on the edge of town.
Totally.
Yes.
we moved to the very first house on Melrose, or I did, when he came along. Very first house that Henry and Cleveland built in what's Edgewood or Melrose. Very first.
Right.
There was a barn across the street, a barn behind the street, and I thought I'd died.
Yeah.
I was living on Melrose. We lived on Elm Street. I'd just gotten to an age where they'd let me walk downtown.
And you were out the
county. I could walk down to Hemphill's Drug, and all of a sudden, I'm sitting out there, and there's a barn behind us, and the old guy had cows. I remember one day he came up and he asked my dad, said, would he like to learn how to milk cows? I let him milk cows. And I'm saying, no, I don't want to do anything like that.
No, that would have been, I guess, that area behind your house?
It's where, totally farm beyond, yeah.
All that over off of Linden and that area. There.
None of that existed.
Yeah.
None of that existed above Melrose and Greenwood. No,
yeah.
That was all farm, the wheel farm, all of that was wheel farm.
And of course, that's, you know, having grandparents on that street and being around that area, so many good memories and of people too.
Sure.
Especially over there that was on that street and the Melrose around where you guys grew up. It's amazing. Your mom, did she ever work outside the home?
No.
She had the hard job then. She was the housewife, the mother.
Strictly housekeeper.
Yeah, and took care of you guys.
Started school in Jessamine County in 1928.
Wow.
I found some of that interesting there. her, one of her school teachers was Ms. Mayhager.
Ellistine's widow, yeah.
Mayhager also taught me in the sixth grade.
Yeah.
And me as well.
Did she teach you as well? Yeah. Did either one of you learn how to write like she could?
No.
She had the prettiest handwriting of any woman I've ever seen.
And Mom loved her.
Yes.
And also, my first grade teacher was Ms. Nora Evans, who had taught my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Richardson, who was in high school, had taught my dad. Mm-hmm. And all of them taught me as well. I told people I couldn't get away with the thing because they didn't hesitate.
Well, of course.
If something didn't go well in school,
yeah,
they didn't hesitate to call because they knew them, and they would call and say, okay.
Yeah, and that's the way it was. You mentioned Edgewood Baptist. I can remember very well. There was a group of guys that I will just have to say, Randy, I was the best acting of all of them. Yeah, if I mentioned their names, you would probably agree, because if you had people like David Poor and Daryl York and Todd Toole and Eli Smith and that bunch, I was the best acting kid. But the thing that happened was you'd be sitting in the congregation, all of our moms sang in a choir. So they could watch you. And it wasn't just your mom watching. It was all of them watching you. And I remember one day, one of those people I just named was acting up. And one of the other moms came out of the choir loft and went right down and took care of that situation. And that's the time you did that kind of thing. And everybody kind of helped raise everybody else's kids. It took a village. And it worked. So Mom was at home, and you, one thing I want to, before I forget, I don't want to slight, you've got some daughters we need to talk about.
I do.
Yeah.
My oldest is Donna, and mm-hmm. she's married to Dr. Jeremy Perkins, and they're in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And my youngest is Susan, and she's at Broadway Baptist Church in Louisville as a pastor of senior adult, of adult, and also education within
yeah.
church.
Now, your dad, you mentioned, went on to be a postman and delivered mail. How long did he do that?
20 years.
Really?
He started in 1960 and he retired in 1980.
Yeah.
And I believe what got him down towards the end were the winters of 78, 79, because
yes.
he had a rural route then. He started out in town walking. And I think he may have done that for close to 10 years. I may be off a little
yeah.
bit at that time.
But over around the area where you all lived, you said.
Right, yeah. And he mm-hmm. would, then there were no Jeeps.
It was, yeah.
You started
you
from
walked.
The post office.
Yeah, right.
Which was down off, is that Chestnut?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, down First Second Street,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah, and they would walk to wherever.
Or would that have been it. First Street? It would have been First Street because it was catacorner
yeah.
to the
yeah,
church.
Right from
yeah.
the church, First Street. Yeah.
And they would walk the route, and then he moved to the rural route, I believe around 1970 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And people loved him. He would give them, he gave them good service.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was off and not working a day, if the correct mail didn't get in the correct box, they would call him at home and say, and he'd say, well, I'm sorry, I didn't work
right.
today. I was on vacation. But in the summer, he got tomatoes. He got all kinds of garden stuff by the bag load.
Really?
He would come home with grocery bags full of stuff. And then in the winter, I got excited when it snowed and listened to WNVL to see
oh,
if he'd
yeah.
be out of school. It didn't excite him a whole lot because he was way down there on Hunter's Ferry and some of those
oh,
roads.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Sliding over, looking down a deep cliff while he was putting the mail in the box.
Yeah.
And he would usually have to go to East Service Station in the mornings when it snowed like that and have chains put on the tires.
Uh-huh.
And he would leave those on if it was one of those big snows that stayed for a while.
Right.
And it was a rough ride and listening to that roaring when he was in, you know, not on the route when he was taking us to do things, but...
Wonder how, if you remember, he would have been delivering then during the big one when yep. we were out of school for 30 days. And they did it every... How did he do it?
He didn't miss a day. They did not miss a day with that, with the what they plowed and with
yeah.
the chains and the things. Didn't miss a day. He was talking about this, and it made me remind me of some things that happened. First, before he was really in that, not only did he walk, but he did what was called parcel post, which... went out the door. They had a vehicle they used that they would go around and deliver things. And I can remember even on Christmas Eve him delivering parcel post. Now that changed.
Yeah.
UPS came in
yeah,
and
yeah.
changed that. When he was when he got into the rural route, he told a couple of three stories, and I jotted down so I wouldn't forget. One day he had chickens to deliver. And had a whole box of chickens that he set in the back car. He could hear them chirp and
mm-hmm.
chirp and chirp.
Mm-hmm.
He got out. Then one day, he had a beehive that was to
oh,
be delivered.
Goodness.
And as he drives down the road, he looks up, and those bees have gotten out, and they're all over this box. And so he pulls up walks up to somebody's house and calls the person, and they tell him, he said, I'm not going to be able to deliver this. So a guy comes to get them, and he got them out, and the bees stayed with it. And he said, oh, don't worry about it. He said, you could have brought them all the way. He said, they wouldn't bother you. And he said, I wasn't going to worry about those things bothering me or not. I'm going to get those things out of that car. I couldn't.
Yeah, sure.
He loved that rural route. He loved the people. Yeah, I mean, enjoy that. Stopped at, is it Fain's Country Store?
Uh-huh, Lark and Fain.
Yeah. That was one of the places he'd stop and get his cheese to have for lunch or do those things. And then he was talking about people gardening. Christmas time, the people were so nice and giving him stuff, just box after box of stuff that would come in with those things, and he loved that. He told me at one time he'd like to stay here 70. Winter of 78 and 79, and then 79 and 80 did it.
That did it, and I can understand. Yeah, I can understand. Enough's enough. I mean, that was hard on a lot of people, but especially if you had a job that you had to do every day. Because most of the people, I mean, would just stop. Things just stopped. And that's the way it was. Randy, if you had to describe your dad using a couple of words, what would you use?
He was soft-spoken.
Yeah.
I never really saw him have any kind of a temper or whatever. Very loving man. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He loved the church. Mom did too, but Dad was a deacon, and Dad he was as dedicated as going to church as he was delivering his mail.
Yeah.
He was there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or whatever. Mom normally went those times too, but sometimes maybe if it was raining a little bit, weather a little bad, she may stay home. But he was very dedicated to the church. He enjoyed going. He enjoyed listening to the singing and participating as a deacon and so forth too. So just, I guess, very loving and pretty laid back and easy going.
And Don, the question to you, because we haven't, not to slight her at all, how would you do the same thing for your mom?
Mom was a housewife.
Right.
And enjoyed life. She was quiet with that, took care of things. I told them at Edgewood, I used the sermon topic, washing windows, cleaning life up. And I told them I dreaded when spring came. Because mom was going to clean things.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, the windows were washed inside and out. Mm-hmm. I wound up doing that, Dad, a whole lot. I'm not sure you ever did that. But that was something. And used vinegar. And I hated that. I hated that. Everything had to be cleaned. Everything had to be done. And that was consistent.
Yeah.
That everything had to be cleaned and done, like fixed just right with those things. Good mother. She was always there with us. Always for us. Always for us.
You guys grew up in an era that and I remember some of it, and more you, Don, than Randy, because you're more closer to age than me, in an era that I often thought, man, I wish I could have grown up in. And we remembered a little bit the era that back then, but you really do.
It was simple.
Yeah. You talked about walking to Hemphill's, for instance.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was nothing. We walked. We walked to town even from Melrose after we got older. You did too.
Yeah.
It was okay to walk down through there to do those things. Never gave it a thought.
Mm-hmm.
Never gave it a thought. In fact, if anything happened along the way, there were people all along the way that knew every one of us.
Sure.
If they needed to help or do that, they would. If they needed to correct us, they would.
Right.
I thought so often, everybody, if you did something you weren't supposed to be doing, they didn't hesitate to correct you, because that was expected.
That's the way it was.
Things with that. But a simple life and a good life. You know, there's 3,400 people in Nicholasville when I was growing up.
3,400.
And it went over 30,000. It's over 30,000 now. That was
ever been.
Well, this is from 2016.
Yeah.
They did those estimates.
Yeah.
Jessamine County over 50.
Yeah.
When I worked at the association, we did summer missions. And we had kids from all over would come in, and we brought them to do vacation Bible school. Some went to Nicholasville, some went down to the Riverview Baptist Church down there. And I was bringing them back through Nicholasville, back into Lexington. And I told them, I said, when I was a kid growing up, there were four traffic lights. And at the end of that fourth traffic light, Nicholasville stopped.
It was country.
It was country. And then two-lane road.
Yeah.
And I told them as a kid, and we would go sometimes into Lexington, and park on Main Street and shop, and this is in the 50s, and we never saw the first traffic signal until you got to High Street before you went to Main.
Right.
At a two-lane road, and occasionally coming back and there's no cars or anything, I'm 7, 8 years old, and my dad would pull me over and let me drive the car.
Really?
And wow. Yeah, because there's no cars. Nothing behind us, nothing coming, you know, down those things. And
well, and you know,
from Miller Flats.
And you know what? There's not probably a lot of people that would remember Miller Flats sitting. And I have to do this, folks. It's right about where Tractor Supply is right now, that area, across from Walmart. But you know, and Randy, I don't consider myself and you very old. You know, I don't, even though we are getting there. I don't. But, you know, you think about it. You talk about Edgewood Baptist. I plainly remember when that was a cornfield. All of that out there was a cornfield. I mean, I guess you got to the post, well, where the post office is now. And right across from, at that time, would have been
Bert Ives.
Well, and what's his name that had the liquor store there in the garage?
Yeah.
Skidmore's. That was it.
That was it.
I mean, you didn't hit another anything really until you got to Lancaster.
That's right.
that was all.
When I first started working with Lancaster Baptist Church, they had not put the four lane road in, and so I would, and I was still living at home.
Oh, so were you still doing the two old down on the river,
down and up and around?
Oh gosh,
I didn't do that long.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a pastor, and I did that a short amount of time, and then Clover Bottom became available, and I did that. So,
things have changed. But you know what? I wouldn't want to grow up anywhere else.
I wouldn't either.
Wouldn't trade it for anything.
And my dad and mom loved Jessamine County. We're talking about the church. He joined Nicholas Hill Baptist Church when he was 14, and he was a member there when he passed. So he was a member there for 70 years.
Wow, 70
and
years.
And through all the years, he stayed with Nicholas Hill Baptist Church. Yeah. He enjoyed that.
Who was some of the people that you all kind of hung up with, just some names? Now, I just interviewed not long ago a fellow that you used to hang out with, Benj Van Hook. We had him on the show. Who was some of the other guys? Was it you, Garrison? BG, was he in on that deal?
Roger Garrison, Cecil Moss,
yeah,
Cliff Brown. Cliff actually grew up right around the corner on Greenwood, too, when he was younger, and then they moved
to
where they are now. But that was pretty much our... most, I guess you could call it. I don't want to use the word gang, but we were a little gang. We weren't mischievous.
Right.
Yeah, that was Cecil and Benji and Cliff Brown and Roger Garrison, and there's probably others. If anybody listens to this, I don't mean to leave you out.
Well, that's the ones I can remember. And I guess all of you, we were all in Edgewood, weren't we? Were you all in Edgewood?
Yeah.
I know Cliff was, and I know for sure. Yeah, you guys.
We went out there when it first opened, and then we kind of migrated back.
But I know Roger, I think, stayed out there. Benji, I guess, always stayed at Nicholsville Baptist.
Right, Cecil and Roger and Cliff all stayed at Edgewood.
Yeah. Who were some of your running buddies?
Oh, C.B. Thompson. He lived across the street, you know, John Harrod.
Yeah.
John with that. In school, a lot of the guys from Wilmore I became close with.
Sure.
Charlie Krause and all the guys from that was part of
a lot
those
of good
things.
People.
Larry Sims became a friend with that. Mm-hmm. So we were involved with all of those things. So
good place to grow up.
It was. Mom and Dad loved Nicholas Hill. He couldn't imagine anybody doing anything else but living in Nicholas Hill.
Yeah.
He just couldn't. That was his thing. I know when I began looking at different churches and thought I was going to be changing, he said, just stay in Nicholas Hill. I said, Dad, I can't do that. That's not, it's not what happens. I've got to go from those things.
Right.
And move from that.
Right.
But of course, he lived there on the corner of 5th and Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
When they first married, they lived over on 4th for a little bit. Then they lived on 3rd Street, and my mom stayed there while he was in the service. Then they came to Elm, and then they went to Melrose.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only place his dad lived.
I'm kind of like your dad. Why would you want to go anywhere else? This is it. And I know there's people listening in other counties feel the same way about their own town, and you should. But, yeah, I'm really proud that I was able to grow up here. And I'm proud that I got to know your mom and dad. Very nice people. Very nice.
They enjoyed, and, of course, they knew you.
Yeah, they enjoyed your family. Yeah.
And, of course, from what Dad did from growing up in Nicholas Hill, being county clerk, being in the post office, doing the rural route, he pretty much knew everybody in town, everybody around.
That's right.
you know, every one of them.
Yeah.
And counted every one of them as friends.
Yeah.
You know, that they were good people and people he worked with and church.
Right.
You know, yeah.
Well, and that's what made our place what it is today. Guys, I appreciate you coming in, taking your time to help us remember a little bit about your mom and dad and the Reed family and what it has meant to our community. And there's a lot of people that will be listening that will enjoy hearing this.
Thanks a lot, Doug. And I want to say I really appreciate you taking time to hear our story, but also for all the other stories that you've done and for this the idea of this program.
Well, thank you.
Live on. I think that's great. I appreciate that.
I want to give. I would like to give that credit to the fellow that raised me. You know, Dad had a unique ability to capture our history, but he did it a different way. And so I'd like to think that he's the one that we should thank for giving that talent to people, but to also giving me the want to capture what we have and keep it in record and remember it always. Because one thing that I have learned, and I know you guys have too, is there's a, what's that old saying? Some about repeating history. You're bound to repeat. I don't remember the exact saying, but if you don't realize where you came from, you just really don't know where you're going. So that's why we do it.
But yeah. Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doug.
My thanks to John and Randy for coming in this morning and sharing information about their family, their mom and dad, and the contributions they made to our community. We appreciate you coming in every Saturday morning for All Things Jessamine. We'll do it again next week at 11 o'clock. Also, join me for my regular show here on Jess FM each weekday morning from 6 until 8 a.m. We'll get you up and get you going. See you next time on Jess FM 105.9.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville. And they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here. Still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.